Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app or many streaming services. Today is November 5th, 2025. The markets were up today with the Dow closing at 47,311, the NASDAQ up at 23,499, and the S&P at 6,796. Our topic this evening, understanding your retirement accounts and some upcoming changes. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Bob and Cindy are in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can speak live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable speaking on air, you can give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and they'll bring it in to me. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So today, understanding your retirement accounts, and then I'm going to touch on tax benefits of that and tax consequences. But why I wanted to particularly talk about understanding your retirement accounts is sometimes I think we, you know, become employed and we're in the frenzy of, you know, taking on a new job and we may be eligible for a retirement account and we just kind of do it and we're not really engaged in it. We're not really paying attention maybe to what we are doing. And there could be nuances to saving for retirement. There could be options. There could be diversified ways for you to save for retirement. So I just thought I would kind of give you some general guidelines on the kinds of retirement accounts we have, why we have them, how they work, some changes that are going to be coming up, and, you know, just some items to think about. So typically, and I'm going to start with employer plans, because I would say that's often kind of the first entree we have into saving for retirement. It doesn't mean it's the only way. Some people who don't have employer plans because an employer doesn't offer one may be saving on their own, and that would be individual retirement accounts, or better known as IRAs, maybe Roth IRAs. So there are ways to save for retirement that have tax benefits to that saving outside of an employer plan, but the probably the way we can put the most money away is typically through an employer plan, and that, again, is often how many of us get started. So what kinds of retirement plans are we talking about? They have these names, 401k, 403b, 457, 409a, TSP. There's different names for different kinds of retirement accounts. Often it's the Internal Revenue Code section that is what identifies them. So when you're working with a financial advisor or your accountant, quite often they're using these words, 401k, 403b. But every now and then, someone will come in and they'll say, well, no, I have a retirement savings plan, or I have a supplemental plan, or I have a, it might be the, you know, PPL savings plan. It might not use that moniker of the 401k. So just know that if it's through your employer, it's chances are it's going to be a 401k or a 403b, again, using the Internal Revenue Code section that provides the guidelines for these. Individual plans, which I'll talk about in a little bit, traditional IRAs, Roth IRAs, as I mentioned, another way to save outside of an employer plan, but the limits of how much you can put in are much, much lower than that. There's also other kinds of retirement accounts, deferred comp plans, very different than your 401k and your 403b, depending on where you're employed, because certain kinds of employers may have a deferred comp plan that might be similar to saving in those traditional retirement accounts. There's pension plans that is a type of retirement account. And even those deferred comp and pension type plans can have hybrids, like a cash balance plan, where it might be a bit of a defined benefit, which is a pension, and a defined contribution, which is more of like what we're used to with the 401ks. The deferred comp, as I said, depending on what kind of employer you have, if you're, you know, working maybe for like a government employer, sometimes those deferred comp plans, you can defer the income from your wages and it goes into a special account. And when you retire, you may be able to roll that over into an IRA. But other people, if you're just working for a regular corporation, you might be a higher earner. And the employer may allow, if you're at certain compensation levels or you're certain executive levels, they may offer you to participate in a deferred comp plan. You can defer your wages into this special account, but that account may be not eligible to roll over. That would be a non-qualified plan. So it depends on your employer. It depends on maybe your status in the company, as to what you might be eligible for. Bottom line, when you're working for an employer or you're looking for a job, as I've often mentioned on the show, when you're researching jobs, make sure you're comparing them apples to apples, because one company might not have a plan, the other one might. One company might not offer a match, the other one might, meaning a match to a contribution you might make into that retirement account. So you want to make sure you understand what kind of retirement accounts they have. Usually they're going to talk to you about that if they've hired you, and they're going to tell you about the benefits that you might be eligible for. You want to explore what those might be. Once you're eligible, those employers should be providing to you what we call summary plan documents or summary plan descriptions. I call it SPD, so I never remember if it's summary plan document or summary plan description. But those summary plan documents can often be, you know, dozens of pages thick. It might be 24 pages, 30 pages, where they're describing the plan. It'll describe the employer's responsibility, the employee's responsibility, the benefit, the eligibility status, how one participates, when are you eligible to participate, what happens if you leave employment, you know, after X number of years, what if you die, terminate, whatever it might be. All of the aspects of that plan are in that summary plan document, and that is a very important document for you to make sure you have access to, that you have it saved somewhere. Maybe it's accessible on your employer plan site, but it will give you a lot of information about whether you can take a loan on your retirement account, when are you vested, and I can talk about what that means to be vested. So tonight, talking about understanding your retirement accounts and some of the little nuances and why it would be really important for you to understand them, because it can make a big difference in, you know, your own saving for retirement and avoiding, you know, penalties if you do something wrong. So we're talking about understanding your retirement accounts. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And we'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
For the past 3 decades, WDIY has sustained itself through direct contributions from listeners. Our model is simple. The people who listen to the service are the ones who support the service. As WDIY celebrates its landmark 30th anniversary, we invite you to join us as a WDIY member by making a membership gift today. This is something you could do right now to make a meaningful difference in your community. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or online at wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can either just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and bring it in to me, and you just wait and listen for the answer. Or if you're comfortable talking on air with me, we can do that as well. Tonight, we're talking about understanding your retirement accounts and why I think it's really important for people to kind of understand, you know, what is available to you and what other options you might have and what retirement accounts you may be able to coordinate with current accounts that you have. I'm just going to give you a real quick example of that. So I've had where people tell me, you know, oh, well, I already did my Roth at work. They may be eligible to do an individual Roth as well. It all depends on their income, how their filing status, and, you know, what else did I want to say? Their income, their filing status, and, you know, if they have the funds to, you know, further fund retirement accounts. Sometimes they think if they're putting money in an account at work through their employer that they can't do it individually, and sometimes they can. So that's why I think it's really important to talk about some of the nuances of these things. So let me just mention some other types of retirement savings that people may not like have in their, you know, bandwidth to think about. Employer plans, individual plans, as I mentioned, deferred comp plans, maybe pension plans. Social Security is a retirement savings vehicle, in essence. Some people don't realize that. Where that I see people getting burned sometimes is, you know, you might have someone who's self-employed, and then they have to pay both sides of the Social Security and Medicare tax. And that's, you know, a little over 15%. So they might think, oh, you know, I don't really want to show a profit because I don't want to pay all that tax. When you're working, you pay half, the employer pays half. But I mean, too many times I've seen where self-employed people don't realize that in paying FICA tax, the self-employment tax, that they're building up that Social Security benefit when they retire. So Social Security is a retirement benefit as well. Some people choose to use annuities. Annuities have their own kind of tax and cost fees implications. Annuities can be, you know, purchased in an IRA, and they can be purchased outside of an IRA. And if they're purchased outside of an IRA, that's called a non-qualified annuity. And so sometimes people might think of using annuities as part of their retirement savings as well. And of course, let's not forget that you can also just have a regular you know, brokerage account or savings account that you're saving money in for retirement. I love when we have options of where we're going to pull money from, meaning when someone retires, if they have only IRAs or 401ks, and quite often people will roll over their 401k from their employer plan to an individual rollover IRA, individual IRA. And if that is the only money you have and you have to fund your cash flow, then every time you're taking money out, there's a tax related to that. So if you need $100,000 and you only have money in an IRA, rollover IRA, even 401k, and you need $100,000, you're taking $100,000 out, but I told you, you needed $100,000, but wait, we have tax on that because the full $100,000 would be taxable. So we actually, to net $100,000, we might have to take out, you know, $125,000 or $130,000 or something, whatever it might be, to net you the amount of money you need. So what I love is when we have other buckets to pick from. So quite often we talk about diversification in investments. I love talking about diversification in your investment strategies as well. Maybe you have some money in a 401k or an IRA. Maybe you have some money in a Roth. Maybe you have some money in a brokerage account. Maybe you have some money in some, you know, sometimes you might have an annuity. Maybe you have it in some, you know, T-bills or savings bonds. And then we have Social Security as a potential benefit too. So there's these different buckets that we can pick money from that would have very different tax consequences. So for example, in the 401k or IRA story, I said if you had to pull out $100,000 net, then we have to gross it up for taxes to cover the taxes, and it's all income taxable. But if I know that you have, you know, a brokerage account that you started investing in when you were like in your, you know, 30s, and you've grown, you know, 100,000 to 500,000 by the age of, you know, 60, I'm making this up, then I could pull money out of your brokerage account and have very different tax consequences than pulling 100,000 out of your IRA or 401k. That's because I might be able to, you know, offset gains with some losses, do some harvesting of losses on your investments. So if I have to pull $100,000 out of your stock portfolio, I might be able to do that with, you know, I'm going to make this up, $20,000 of gains. So I would only be paying taxes on $20,000, not $100,000. But I could still get you the $100,000. And maybe the taxes on that $20,000 of gain might be at zero, might be at 15%. It all depends on your tax bracket and your filing status. But it's a very different consequence than pulling $100,000 out of the IRA. Okay? So this is kind of why it's important to understand how your retirement accounts work and what are your options. And the younger you are, the better off you'll be to diversify how you're investing. It's why regular listeners know I often talk about Roth IRAs, and particularly for young people, because you are probably in the lowest tax brackets you'll ever be when you're just starting off. You haven't, you know, advanced in your career. You're not at those higher paying positions, and you might be in a low tax bracket when you're first starting off, and you could put money into vehicles such as the Roth IRA, which does not give us a tax deduction on the front end, but we do not pay taxes on it in our future. So that will continue to grow. And hopefully I'll talk a little bit more about Roth. It's hard to talk about just staying in one lane on all of these things. All right, so let's start with 401ks and 403bs because they can be so similar. The main difference is that 403Bs, that's the Internal Revenue Code, remember, that are really for nonprofits. Typically, we see this with schools, with education systems, colleges, universities, healthcare, quite often hospitals. That's typical. But in recent years, I've even seen these institutions gravitate toward the 401Ks. And again, the 401Ks and the 403Bs are practically the same now. I think it was, and it's been a long time, the Pension Protection Act of 2006, I think, kind of tried to bring these both kind of more in alignment. So when I'm talking tonight, I'm going to talk more generally about 401ks and just kind of assume the 403bs are in there too when we talk about employer plans. These are employer-sponsored plans by which the employees traditionally, I'm going to say traditionally, contributed on a tax-deferred basis to receive those tax savings today. And that way they kept more of their money invested. Let me see if I can give kind of like a little story here. Back in the day when Social Security was not taxable, a long time ago, pre-1985, people would be in a higher tax bracket while they were working, and they'd be in a low tax bracket when they retired. So the concept was, if I save for my retirement while I'm working, and I get a tax deferral on that money I put away, because the IRS said, under these employer plans, you can get a tax deferral. So if I made $50,000 and I put $10,000 into my 401k, I only paid tax on $40,000. So the tax savings on that 10 actually could be invested. And that gave me an opportunity to save more money for my future retirement. What happens, though, over time, it gets invested, it grows, it grows, it grows, and then when I retire, I go to take money out. What did I say? We now pay tax on it. Back in the day when you retired, you might have really truly been in a lower tax bracket when you took it out. Nowadays, if people have pensions, Social Security, required minimum distributions from these big, you know, 401ks and IRAs, now we have people who are actually in a higher tax bracket sometimes when they retire. So we're going to talk about, again, the benefits of kind of diversifying where you're putting your money for retirement. We're at our second break. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Introducing Home for the Holidays. 'Tis a season to shop small and share big. A new podcast launching November 6th. Each week, we'll spotlight local makers and retail stores that make our region shine and show how shopping small keeps local dollars close to home. So tune in, get inspired, and join the hashtag BuyLocal movement. Listen at WDIY.org, watch on PBS 39's YouTube channel, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your name or your question to Cindy. Talking about understanding your retirement accounts. So my little story was back in the day, you know, tax defer. It was beat into our heads. Then what started happening? Well, I think Reagan made part of Social Security taxable, and it depends on how much other income is on your tax return. That's one thing that happened. So now some of the Social Security was exposed to, you know, taxation. The other thing that happened is we still had people who had pensions. So traditional retirement savings were in a pension where the employer was putting money in the pension for you. It was part of your fringe benefits. You may not have had to put anything in. So you had your employer putting money in this pension. So now when you retire, you might have had pension and you might have had Social Security. Fast forward X number of years, pensions are going by the wayside because pension, you know, benefits are going bankrupt. Maybe they weren't managed well, whatever might have happened. You know, companies didn't want to maintain them. People were living longer and, you know, companies were having to pay out these pensions forever and ever. So companies started saying, hey, we're not going to fund these pensions anymore, or we're going to reduce it or not do it for our future employees. And now you have this 401k option. You get to save for retirement yourself. But hey, since we're not putting money in that pension anymore, maybe we'll start putting money in that 401k for you. So instead of funding the pension, the employer says, we're going to start funding the 401k. So now we might have people who are in this period where they're eligible for Social Security, they have a pension, and they have a 401k too, because they started doing it right away, wanted that deferral, looked great. Now they go to retire, now they have Social Security, a pension, 401k, sometimes stock options, sometimes we still have a spouse working, they might have their own savings where they have interest income or dividend income, and all of a sudden the income on those retirees' tax returns is, you know, fairly high, fairly, decent. And sometimes maybe the same tax bracket they were in when they were working, sometimes a higher tax bracket. So all of a sudden, we said, oh my gosh, do we have any other options here? Along came something called the Roth IRA. So we had traditional IRAs. That was for individuals who didn't have employer plans. And then I think some guy named Roth, I don't go back that far. I think I was too young. Came up with this concept, hey, what about people who might want to save but don't need the tax break today? They can do it on like an after-tax basis. And by the way, that after-tax contributions to retirement accounts actually had been around before. So there were people probably who were working in, you know, the 70s and 80s who may have been putting money into their retirement accounts on an after-tax basis, meaning they weren't getting a deduction. And even some employer plans today still offer the after-tax contribution if you're exceeding the IRS limits and you're a highly compensated person, you might still be able to do some extra after-tax money, even beyond the standard 401k limits. Those limits, by the way, for 2025 are $23,500. And if you're 50 or older, it's $7,500. And there's even some special provision for people between the ages of 60 and 63, I think, that you can do a little bit extra as well. I can give you those numbers in a minute. But let's just pretend you did the 23.5 and the 7,500 because you're over 50. That's 31,000. And the IRS says between you and the employer, you can do like up to 60-something. Well, some employer plans might say, well, you know, you're capped out on what you can do for the regular 401k contributions, but you can do some after-tax money too. So that's even outside of the Roth portion, okay? So all of a sudden, we might have some after-tax money in these retirement accounts too. So because people were in maybe a higher tax bracket and this Roth guy came up with this idea, hey, can people do it on an after-tax basis? But what happened with after-tax money in your regular 401k, the after-tax money would be tax-free. Okay, pay attention to this for a minute. The after-tax money would be tax-free, but the earnings on the after-tax money is still going to come out income taxable at ordinary income tax rates. The after-tax, I'm not talking about Roth contributions, I'm talking after-tax dollars, not Roth, because some plans didn't offer Roth. I mean, it was only in recent years that people started adding this Roth feature to the 401ks. So people didn't have a Roth option. So they were just doing after-tax money as an extra way to save additional dollars. So the after-tax portion would be basis in that 401k, but the earnings on it are going to come out taxable. So first we had the individual Roth. That's great, but the amount that you could put into the individual Roth, very tiny compared to the amount you can put in a Roth 401k if your 401k has the Roth feature. Not all 401ks have the Roth feature. So you can only put a tiny amount. So it took a long time to build up those Roth IRAs originally, okay? So that was a great way to now have the option, instead of the after-tax money in my 401k, which would grow taxable other than the after-tax portion, now I could put my after-tax money into a Roth IRA instead, a Roth. And the benefit there is not only is my contribution, which was done on an after-tax basis, not going to be subject to income tax because I didn't get a deduction. Now the earnings are going to be tax-free. So all of a sudden, anybody who was doing after-tax contributions into their 401k now has this individual Roth available, potentially. What a great way to now get it growing income tax-free. But there's always income limits on this, and it depends on if you're a participant in a plan. Is your spouse a participant in the plan? How much money do you make? So there's all kinds of limits on this that you have to be aware of. But You can see how this evolved over time. So we went from pensions to 401ks with tax deferral to after-tax money, not tax deferred, but growing taxable, to Roth individual IRAs, to Roth 401k options on employer plans that chose to adopt it. Remember at the top of the show, I said there's something called the summary plan document, summary plan description. This is why you need to know if your employer offers a Roth feature, because there's going to be changes in 2026 on catch-up contributions if you make over a certain dollar amount that may have to go into the Roth, but only if your employer has a Roth in their 401k option, okay? It gets complicated, I know, but it's about awareness. And if at least you start hearing some of this, you can do some of, research and find out, ask your employers, what's my plan? What is my summary plan document? What does it look like? Do we have a Roth feature? If I'm, make over a certain amount of money and I'd love doing the catch up for the tax deferral and now I don't get the tax deferral, do I still want to do the catch up? And what is the benefit if I do? All right. Gets complicated. Hang on tight. We've got another half hour. You can call in with questions at 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Thank you, Bridger. Welcome back. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking about retirement accounts, understanding your retirement accounts. So we've talked about 401ks, 403bs, employer plans. Those are employer plans. Traditional employer plans to do kind of substitute for the pensions. Then we had tax deferral contributions. And then there may have been after-tax money in 401ks. And then in more recent years, piggybacking off the concept of the traditional IRA and the individual Roth account, the IRS allowed employers to add a Roth feature to their employer plans. They had to adopt it. Not all employers have adopted it. I would say more and more will be adopting it because there are going to be some changes going into 2026 for catch-up contributions. Let me just mention, I want to go back for a moment. When I talked about the 401k limits for 2025, it was $23,500. For individuals, if you're 50 or older, there's an extra $7,500. That makes it $31,000. In 2026, those amounts are going up to $24,500 and $8,000, which is $32,500. Here's the little change in 2026. I want to make sure everybody hears this, so I'm going to kind of put it in a little earlier than I intended. If you make more than $145,000 in 2025, then your employer in 2026, if you're contributing to your 401k or 403b, if you had made more than $145,000 in the previous year, 2025, then your catch-up contributions have to go in on an after-tax basis to a Roth feature. So if your employer plan does not have a Roth feature and you are someone who maxes out your retirement savings and you made more than $145,000, you won't be able to do that catch-up contribution. Then you would have to see if you could do an individual account. And remember I said Roth IRAs and individual IRAs have income limits. So you might say, oh, well, if I can't do the catch-up because my employer doesn't have a Roth, I'll just do a separate Roth IRA. I can do that individually. Well, if your income's too high, then you can't. I mean, there's backdoor Roths, but that's a little bit more complicated. I've talked about that a number of other times. But so it may not be as obvious. What does it mean to you if you cannot do that catch-up contribution on a pre-tax basis? Then it's going to be income taxable to you. So let's pretend you did the catch-up contribution in 2026 of $8,000 and you're in a 24% tax bracket. That would be about $2,000 of tax that you're not going to save currently. So if you're putting the $8,000 into the retirement account, into the Roth feature, if your employer has it for that catch-up, you don't have the $8,000 either, and you don't have the $2,000 to pay the taxes, perhaps. So you're going to have to just manage your cash flow if you're going to choose to do that. If I had been able to do it on a pre-tax basis, that would only hit my paycheck in this scenario, let's say about $6,000, okay? So I'm not losing, it's not $8,000 out of my pocket because the taxes, in essence, are getting invested. But if it's now on an after-tax basis, I don't have the $8,000 because I put $8,000 into this Roth catch-up piece, but my taxes are going to go up $2,000. You see? So you just have to make sure that you think that through and understand how the dynamics work. One of the reasons I like when people put money into their employer plans, number one, set it and forget it. Great way to save. If you don't have it, you know, it's working for you, and hopefully you have it invested smartly. But the other thing is, quite often these employers will put a match in, and usually, like, if you put in, you might see something like this. If you put in 6%, the employer might put in 50%. So they might put in 3. They might say, then you say, oh, well, I'll put in 8. Well, they might have a cap. They might say, no matter how much you put in, we're only going to put in 3. But if you put in 1, we're only going to put in 1/2. So that's going back to that summary plan document that will tell you how much the employer is putting in and what you have to put in to be able to get that. Now, some employer plans have what they call safe harbor plans. And the safe harbor plan is attractive to some employers because they don't have to do all of the administrative work on these 401ks and do compensation testing, and, you know, highly compensated, you know, employees may throw off the whole plan, and it might add a lot of extra administrative cost and expenses. So they say, hey, I don't want to deal with that. We want to match, put something in for our employees anyway. We're going to commit to putting in 3% no matter if they do or not. So that's a safe harbor plan. That's great. Doesn't matter if you put in or not, you're going to get the 3%. But if there are employers who don't do any match at all, sometimes what I'll say is, do you have an option to fund a Roth IRA on your own if you're within certain income limits? Because then at least you have access to the money. Roth IRAs, if we're eligible for them, we make a contribution to the Roth, and we can always get out our original contribution. So for me, it always feels like a little bit of a safety net. And the beauty of the Roth, though, is if you don't need the money and you invest it, it grows income tax-free. And that can really compound over time and could be a really good option and one of those extra buckets that you can pick from when you're in your retirement years if you need to. And why would that be important? There are times when we're in our retirement years where, as I said, sometimes people are in a higher income tax bracket when they're not working. And you always think, how can that happen? Well, again, the Social Security, the pensions, the required minimum distributions from your IRAs, and maybe you, or maybe that's the only money you have and you have to kind of manage your cash flow. Well, if your income is over certain thresholds, you might subject your Medicare premiums. If you're 65 and over and on Medicare and have Medicare premiums, you could end up paying more in Medicare premiums because there's something called the income-related monthly adjustment amount, the IRMA adjustment, if for income over certain thresholds, depending on your filing status. So sometimes, again, pulling from those other buckets helps manage that income on the tax return to help keep your income within, let's say, the standard tier to avoid having to pay extra for your Medicare premiums. All right. And then the other advantage to Roth IRAs, and back to this feature in a 401k now, when someone goes to retire, they may keep their money at the 401k or they may roll it over to an IRA. I want to go back to the after-tax dollars for a moment. If a client has after-tax money, if a taxpayer has after-tax money in a 401k, and you have a required minimum distribution, for example, at age 73, they're going to calculate the required minimum distribution on the entire balance. And when you take your RMD, it will be pro rata, some taxable and some not taxable, depending on how much after-tax money you have in your 401k. If you roll it over, you can take the after-tax dollars out of the 401k, roll it into a Roth IRA, and that avoids that pro rata calculation on your RMD. So you kind of separate it. You roll the 401k pre-tax dollars into an IRA rollover, and you roll the after-tax dollars into a Roth IRA. I'm just mentioning this. This is, again, about knowing your retirement accounts. And a lot of people are retiring or have been retired and keep the money in the 401k. And so I'm just mentioning it so that you don't get caught up in that pro rata, you know, situation. When or if you were to roll the after-tax money into the Roth, what did I tell you earlier? What happens with the Roth? It grows income tax-free, whereas the after-tax dollars, if you keep them in that 401k, the after-tax dollars are growing at taxable dollars. So you really need to understand what's in your retirement accounts, people, as my seventh grade music teacher would say, people. So one of the most important things you can do, understand your summary plan document description, your 401k options, when you're working. Know, do you have a safe harbor plan? Do you have an employer plan that does a match? Do they do a profit sharing? Sometimes you don't get the profit sharing. Sometimes you don't get a match at all. Would you be eligible then to fund a Roth IRA separately? Remember to kind of diversify your buckets. And then when it's time to retire, does it make sense to roll it over? Know what's in that retirement account. Another thing I've mentioned quite often, not everybody has it, but occasionally we'll have employer plans that will match with employer stock. And sometimes people think, oh, I'm going to get out of the employer stock. Well, if you happen to have employer stock and you've had it for a really long time and you've worked at the company for a really long time, super, super important question to ask. If you see employer stock in your 401k, very important to ask, what is the cost basis of that stock? Because there are special tax treatments on employer stock in a 401k. It's called net unrealized appreciation. You can take the employer stock out of the plan separately in a complete rollover. It has to be a lump sum, but you take the employer stock out and put it in your own account, not a retirement account, not an IRA, not a Roth IRA. You put it in an individual account. You only pay tax today on the cost basis. The difference between the cost basis and the fair market value will be long-term capital gains. So you've just taken what would be ordinary income taxable money and converted whatever the gain would be on it to long-term capital gain tax treatment when you eventually sell it. So what did I talk about? When we have 401ks, we want to look at what is the summary plan document? What is my vesting schedule? Meaning if I leave after 2 years, do I get any of that employer contribution? In a safe harbor plan, absolutely you do. But in a regular plan, you may not get that money that the employer put in if you don't stay 5 years, 6 years. There's something called the vesting schedule. So you want to know what the vesting schedule is because it could mean a lot to you if you work for a company that has a huge employer contribution. So you don't want to walk away or leave money on the table if, you know, if the job's still okay. So you want to know what the vesting schedule is, what the employer contribution is, what are the terms of, you know, terminating, or if you die, what is it? Is there employer stock in the plan? And what is the cost basis of that? Is there after-tax money in one of those old 401ks you have? They were trying to do away with the ability to roll over after-tax money into a Roth. So if you're someone who's sitting on an old 401k, you just kind of kept it there and you've been retired for a long time, look at your 401k. See if there's after-tax money in it, because that could have been rolled over to a Roth growing income tax-free versus sitting in there subject to pro rata RMD calculations. So just get curious. Start looking at some of this. Folks, we're at the last break. I can't believe how fast the show is going, and I'm not even covering like probably two-thirds of what I wanted to talk about. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. And thank you, Bridger. You have a question?
Yeah. So my savings situation, and I know you can't give investment advice, but my question is more about what proportion of my savings that I have to work with every month goes into my Roth IRA versus my brokerage account. And I don't have a 401k. I'm a freelancer, so it's just all, it's what I have to, and it varies month to month how much I can put into those accounts. But what my tactic has been is I take however much I have to put away, I put half of it into my brokerage account and then into the various different ETFs and whatever. And then I put half of it into my Roth IRA. And currently, of my entire savings, about three quarters of it is brokerage through my brokerage account. And, you know, a mix of different things. And then about a quarter of it right now is through the Roth IRA. So should I, and I'm 31, and, you know, should I be, is that a decent tactic to just split it between the two, or should I be putting more in Roth right now, or does it matter? I guess, you know, I get confused as to, like, where it should all go.
Well, it's a great question. Typically, you know, we often ask our clients about how much cash do they have on hand. Sure. And I always say, we're not trying to get more of your money. We're actually trying to get a feel for how you spend money. So if we have people who seem to always be accumulating money, then I know that they're not using it all. So you said this is your savings. So this is above and beyond, you know, your normal expenses. So your savings is what you're putting away. So if I thought, you know, gosh, you've had a track record for 3 years of always having savings, then I would say maxing the Roth is the first place I probably would go. And the Roth IRA, for example, for 2025 would be $7,000 because you can always get out the original contribution if you need it. Now, it also depends a little bit on how you invest. So if I don't think you need it and you're an aggressive investor for Roth IRAs, because Roth IRAs grow tax-free, if you needed the money and you were an aggressive investor and the market tanked, then you may not be able to get out your original contribution. So you have to be a little bit careful with that. I do always like to see like 6 months of reserve in a savings account. You know, so, you know, once you establish that, then you might not have to react if the market goes down and you needed a little extra money because you have it in your savings account. So the concept of the Roth is getting it growing for a long time, as earlier the better, because we know over time, historically, no guarantees that, you know, our accounts can grow. And growing at income tax-free benefit is great. But until you're 59 and a half, you're not going to be able to tap the earnings on that Roth, but you can always tap the original contribution. So let's pretend you did $5,000 for 5 years. That's $25,000. And in 5 years, your Roth is worth 40. And you want to buy a house in 5 years. Well, you could tap $25,000 and keep the other $15,000 of earnings still growing income tax-free. So how do you keep track of that original contribution? There's a form that you should be filing, or at least, you know, filling out with your tax return every year that's called the Form 8606, and it can show what your Roth contributions are and how you're accumulating it, because I have had circumstances where clients have had to take out their Roth money, and I just go and I say, okay, look, you took out, you put in $5,000 for 5 years, that's $25,000, we can take it out, we can prove you put in the $25,000, you didn't get a tax deduction for it. It's great. The earnings stay in there and they grow until you're age 59 and a half. Okay. So love the Roth. If you feel really confident and comfortable that you're not going to have to tap it, I like funding the Roth first. Because what's happening in the brokerage account? Love that too, though, Bridger. I love that option too. So I love that you could save them both. So in the brokerage account, you're saving and you do have access to it whenever you need. You might have tax consequences to it, though. So if, let's say, you put that same $25,000 in the brokerage account and it grows to 40,000, we have $15,000 of growth. When you take $25,000 out of that, you still might have a tax consequence, because in order to raise the $25,000, you might have to sell some stock at a gain. But if it's long-term, it qualifies for lower tax rates. You have, if you have it in equities, the dividends typically are going to qualify for lower tax rates. So Roth is great, tax-free growth, tax-free earnings. Love that. The next great thing, your brokerage account for those tax-favored dividends and tax-favored long-term capital gains. So I like that too. I love having different buckets. And then eventually, if you are ever employed, you know, with an employer plan, you could do tax deferral then when you're maybe in a higher tax bracket as you get older. Okay?
All right.
So I think you're doing great.
Thank
you. Keep it up. Love Roth IRAs for people who have access to them or are eligible for them. So let me mention that, since Bridger brought that up, since it's a great idea. So individual Roth IRAs, it depends on your income. First of all, you always have to have earnings in order to put money into those. So if you only make $5,000, you can only put $5,000. But if you make, you know, $100,000, then you could do the seven, as long as you're... have those earnings and you don't make more money than, you know, $146,000 as a single person and $230,000 as a married filing joint. So the income limits are kind of higher than one might think. So you could put money in those Roths. Where was I going with this? Just keep in mind Roth IRAs. Oh, what was I going to say? Good idea. Forgot what I was going to say about the Roth IRA. I'll come back to it if I can. So the options, 401ks, 403bs, deferred comp. Deferred comp, you guys, you know, you might get the tax deferral today, but that all comes out as ordinary income. What I want you to know about retirement deferred comp, first of all, not that many people actually have access to it, but nowadays you have to make a irrevocable decision on how you want it paid out. And you might say, oh, well, pay it out to me when I turn 65, pay it out to me 5 years after I retire, or 10 years after I retire, or over 10 years. So sometimes people don't know what their situation might be. So it could get a little complicated. And, you know, it's really for highly compensated people to kind of defer their income today while they're working and making, you know, a lot of money and in a high tax bracket, again, with the thought that they're going to be in a lower tax bracket in the future. But remember, sometimes you're not. And depending on what you elect on that deferred comp, you may actually put yourself in a higher tax bracket by your election. If you said, you know, oh yeah, pay it all out to me in year five, well, that could end up being a big chunk of change all at once. So be careful of that. Traditional IRAs, I don't really even see that many people even doing these that much, but it really is helpful. And I've used this tactic for a number of people from time to time when we're just on the cusp of maybe the Medicare premiums or some kind of tax rate or tax benefit, premium tax credit on the healthcare benefits. We might use a little bit of traditional IRA deductions to lower the income to qualify people for other credits that might be available. Okay. I know what I was going to say about the Roth. So the individual Roth, I love the individual Roth when you're eligible for it, because as I said, you can get back out that original contribution that I was just talking to Bridger about. But here's the thing. If you're putting money into the Roth feature of the 401k, you may not be able to get that out while you're working. Because remember, go back to the summary plan document. The summary plan document is going to tell you when you're eligible to take money out of it. And usually you're not eligible to take money out of your employer plan at, you know, age 31. So you could get access to your individual Roth, but you may not be able to have access to your Roth 401k. So really pay attention to your deferral to your 401k, whether it is pre-tax or Roth, if you would otherwise be eligible to do an individual Roth. This is why I love talking about understanding your retirement accounts. If you're married filing joint, and I said you could do a Roth IRA contribution if you're making less than $230,000, there's a phase out, you know. I said you could do a Roth. If you are instead putting Roth money in your 401k, know that you may not have access to that until you reach a certain age or retirement to be able to take it out. Whereas you may be able to take out your original contributions in your individual Roth. So unless you, you know, the only way you're going to get the match is putting a full amount in the 401k, you want to put in at least enough to get your match. Let's pretend you only have to put in $10,000 to get your match, and you're doing it on a Roth basis, and you otherwise would be eligible for an individual Roth. Well, I'm going to say, let's think about doing the $10,000 into the employer plan Roth, if that's what you want. But rather than doing, you know, another $7,000 or $8,000 into that one, let's fund your individual Roth. Because that's going to give you some flexibility and some access to money that you're not going to have your hands tied like in an emergency. Okay? I hope that makes sense. So different kinds of retirement accounts. What other kind of retirement accounts was I going to talk about? Did I mention the catch-up contribution for ages 60 to 63 is $11,250? So I said if you're over 50, the extra contribution for 2025 was $7,500. But if you're between ages 60 to 63, your catch-up jumps to $11,250 in 2025. So if you're someone who needs a tax break and you want to put more money into your retirement account and you're between ages 60 and 63, you may still be able to do that, you know, November, December paychecks, up your amount to get that extra catch-up. That's to help people kind of get more into their retirement account in these later years before they retire. Just know that if you're making more than $145,000 in 2025, next year in 2026, your catch-up is going to have to go into the Roth feature if your employer plan offers the Roth feature. If they don't offer the Roth feature, you're not going to be able to do the catch-up. Okay, and then just make sure that you have the taxes set aside to cover the, you know, if it's on an after-tax basis now, that you're going to have the taxes money to cover that. Your tax bill will be a little bit higher when you go to file your tax return. All right, so talked about 401ks, 403bs, we talked about after-tax money, we talked about Roth 401ks, we talked about individual traditional IRAs and Roth IRAs, 403Bs, very similar to the 401ks, deferred comp, employer plans, safe harbor plans where the employer's automatically putting in, make sure you're getting the match if you're if your employer offers that, you want to make sure that you're putting money in as long as your cash flow allows that. So all of this is, you know, just educational people. You do have to kind of talk to your own advisors, your tax people to make sure that, you know, I don't want someone deferring money into a retirement plan and carrying $40,000 of credit card balances at a 29% interest rate. So you really have to balance this with, you know, your cash flow. What do you have available? What is your tax situation? It's all, you know, feeds into each other. You want to make sure that you coordinate any of your planning when you're making decisions about how much to contribute to your retirement accounts and what you're going to need for your retirement. Okay, next week, I am going to talk about family conversations on estate planning. Since we have the holidays coming up, I thought that's important to talk about, family conversations on estate planning. Thank you, Bob and Cindy. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Bridger. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.